Okay, hey everybody. Alright, so we're in Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed means to be happy, to be envied, and to be blessed. God will extend his benefits and the advantages that he confers. He enlarges you when you're blessed. God's provision and favor and a fortunate position is upon you when you're blessed. His grace is upon you when you are blessed. And this happens when you are obeying the Lord's inbirthing of faith. Okay? So you will be envied by people and because of all of those advantages. Okay. And then blessed are those who are hungering after, which means to desire earnestly, to crave and to seek. Those who are hungering after and those who thirst, which is to want their soul to be refreshed. They want their soul to be supported and to be strengthened. These type of people will be filled. They will be fulfilled with the desire of any one who will supply, they will be fulfilled the desire of anyone. So anyone, anybody who is hungering and thirsting, earnestly desiring and wanting their soul refreshed, earnestly desiring the right, you know, desiring, and it says that righteousness, which is earnestly wanting righteousness. To be correct, they actually really want to be right. They want to be right. Okay, they'll be filled. That desire will be fulfilled of anyone that comes, and they will be supplied with it in abundance. Okay? All right, righteousness. Righteousness is justice. It is divine righteousness. And it's divine approval. Okay, deemed right by the Lord after he's examined, approved in his eyes. Matthew 7:15 says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. And wolves there is to be cruel and greedy. Okay, so they're false prophets because they're not sons of the kingdom. And how do we know? Because they're going to come to you saying they're Christian, that they're followers of Jesus and Jesus is their Lord. But inwardly, when it comes down to it, they're going to behave like a ferocious wolf. Okay, they'll be cruel and they'll be greedy. And then he says, by the fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Okay. So ripe fruit is a fig and that's from a thistle, which means to be a missile or an arrow. Okay, so a fig from a thistle, which is a missile and an arrow, and then a grape is honor and glory, and it's around the crown, and it represents authority, and it's a servant of Jesus Christ, okay? So a servant of Jesus Christ has the honor and the glory, which is the grapes, it's the doxa, is it? The glory and the honor, yep. It's around the crown. And so then the ripe fruit that he's talking about, so by the fruit you'll recognize them. Do people, are they able to get grapes out of a thorn bush? And a thorn bush is a prickly plant. It's says there that it's a cancerous bear's foot. And what it actually causes death. It actually causes death to come instead of life. Okay, and that's what we're preaching here, the gospel of life, the Zoe life, eternal life, living waters. Everything's about being raised from the dead, resurrected, restoration, giving you life in abundance. The whole gospel is about providing you with a productive life, okay, a fruitful life. And he says, so the false prophets will not be able to produce that in you. And the way you will know is because you can't actually get honor and glory out of a plant or a prickly thorn bush that's causing death. Okay, it causes death. From what? It's greed and it's cruelty. Okay, it cuts off. And then it says that you get, or can you get figs? Can you get ripe fruit, mature fruit from a missile or an arrow? So from something that's sent to attack you. Okay, so that's how you'll know. So if it's attacking and it's like a missile or an arrow, it's coming at you to attack you or to cause death to you, you know that that's not a real Christian. That's actually a sheep in wolf's that's a wolf in sheep's clothing. On the outside, they say they're a Christian, but inside they actually want to murder you. There's no glory, there's no honor, they're not a servant of Jesus. They don't have that, they don't have a crown like of authority, and they don't honor crowns of authority, or they don't honor a servant of Jesus Christ. Okay, servant of Jesus Christ will have honor and glory. They'll be fruitful. Okay, so Matthew 7:17 says, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. The word tree means to be throwing with the right hand. Okay, we see it in Acts 23:23, where it's like a slinger and an archer. So the tree, it's the dendron, and it's represented, it's spoken about there as like throwing with the right hand. And so, you know, we've talked about hand before and being of, that's the instrument of transferring power out of that vessel through their hand, okay? And so a slinger or an archer, the tree, you can't get a good tree. Okay, so good trees bear good fruit and bad trees bear bad fruit. Good is good in nature. It's empowered by the life in faith. It's got on good ground. It's pleasant. It's upright and it's honorable. It's generous, kind, and it's acceptable to God. Okay? It's good, which is Jesus Christ. That's the good fruit. That's it. Okay? And it produces, which means to construct, manufacture, act, and cause. It produces good fruit. A good tree, a good instrument, a good vessel, a good hand will produce good fruit, will produce Jesus Christ in themselves, and Jesus, that would have been produced within themselves, and then through the hand, their tree, through the hand of their instrument of their power, or through them using their hand as a slinger to bring forth power. It's going to be good power from the kingdom that's actually going to produce Jesus Christ in others. Okay? Bad fruit is, bad means to be rotten or putrid. It means to be worthless, corrupt, depraved, and of poor quality. It's unfit for use. It actually says there it's to make corrupt or to act in either of these ways, to act depraved, to act worthless, to act rotten. Okay, Matthew 7:18 says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Not able to, which means it cannot bear, it cannot do it. It's not able because it doesn't have the power to do it. It's not powerful, or it has no power. Okay, so it doesn't have the power. It's talking about power here. It's saying that a good tree does not, it's not able to produce bad power, okay, which is demonic power. Or power from a different lord, power from a different prince, not the Prince of Peace, not the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. not King Jesus, the Messiah, not power from the Messianic kingdom. Okay, so it's saying a good tree is not powerful or has no power of the has no power from a bad kingdom or a corrupt kingdom or a worthless kingdom because it's a good tree. It's not possible. It's not able to. But a bad tree which is corrupt and worthless and rotten, that cannot produce good fruit, which means it's not able or not powerful or doesn't have the power from the good kingdom. Therefore, it's not possible for a bad tree, which is not, and bad we know is good tree is Jesus Christ inside of you. Bad tree is a corrupt Lord. It's not the kingdom of God. And that's not, it's not possible for a bad tree or a vessel that's body or vessel that its Lord is not Jesus Christ to release the power from the good kingdom, which is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven of Jesus Christ, where he's King and Lord. Okay? So that's the demonstration of power from two kingdoms and two trees. One good, Jesus Christ, one bad, not Jesus Christ. Okay? Bad will produce power that's bad. One will produce power that is good. Amen. All right. Matthew 7:19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Okay? So that not producing good fruit is cut down. If you're not producing good fruit, it's cut down. Cut down means to be removed, prevent it from operating, entirely cut it off, or a complete detachment, and to hinder its work, hinder its power. Right? That's what happens. You cut it down, it can't operate. And that's what it's saying. So, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Okay, into the fire means into the fire of God, which means into the light to reveal and to see the corruption which would cause you to change and transform. So without bringing it to the light, so you chuck it in, you cut it down, and it's cut and in and sorry, thrown, which means to be cut down. Thrown means to be brought down. Bring the power down, okay? Cause its power to be zero. It's put into the fire of God, which is light. And in that light, it will be revealed, it will be revealed that that power you were operating in, or that fruit, that it was bad. And it was corrupt, and it was depraved, and it was rotten, and it was of poor quality, and it was unfit for use for the good kingdom. And you can't be in the good kingdom with a bad tree with bad fruit. Okay? If you want to stay in the good kingdom, it has to be cut down, put into the fire, revealed, so you can see the corruption. So then that way you can be, it can cause you by the re by revealing it with the light to cause you to change and to be transformed by the light, by revealing the corruption, by revealing the bad fruit, by revealing the bad power that was operating. Now everyone else can see it. Not everyone, but some can see it and they put up with it. But God's light exposes it to ourselves, to oneself, so you can see it. So people don't have to put up with it operating. Okay? Because it's bad fruit and it corrupts other people and it corrupts the kingdom. All right, so it's thrown down, which means to be made weaker. That's what it actually means, okay? Okay, so it's thrown down, which makes you weak. And it's weaker in the sense that the flesh is weak. Okay? So it's talking about that it's the flesh is actually weak, and it's it, to be thrown down means to be cast out. But the flesh is talking, the bad fruits coming from the operation of self, which is flesh, okay, and it's the human nature. And 2 Corinthians says, 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my power is made strong in your weakness. Okay, so his power is made strong in your weakness. And the only way to make you weak is to cut down any bad power, because his power, so when, if you feel like you're strong, if you feel like you have power and you can do it, you don't need his power, because his power can't be, doesn't operate where there's self-empowerment. Okay? That's, so all the self-empowerment has to be destroyed to make you absolutely weak. So then God's power comes through you. And it's not you, and it's not self-empowered, it's the power of God, okay? And so in order for that to happen, the flesh or the human nature works, and all the self-empowered works, and the which is corrupt and it's rotten and it's, right, we've been there. It's worthless because it counts for nothing, and it doesn't, you cannot produce Jesus in other people. You can't produce the power of God in people. You can't put the power of God into anybody. And that's what, and that's the only good fruit available. That's the entire purpose of the gospel, is to put the, is for the power of God to operate in every single vessel. But it's not possible while self is operating. So self has to be, cut down. Okay. So self needs to get cut down. It's thrown into the fire, revealed, brought into the light, God's light, which shows you your corruption for your own good, so that way you can see, so it can make you weak and powerless, so that self-empowered power that releases bad power is dismantled and disarmed. And you're now in a weakened state where you require good power. And you don't want the bad power, because you've been operating in the bad power in the flesh, in the human nature for so long. And because it got cut down, which made you completely weak, and to recognize it and then thrown into the fire, which is God's light, you've seen the corruption of the state of your human nature, and you do not want that back. So now the only option for you is God's power. So in this weakened state, you will now hunger and thirst for the right power, not the bad power. Okay? And then Paul says, my grace is sufficient for you, or it suffices you, which means to be possessed of unfailing strength. That's what it means. My grace, to be possessed of unfailing strength, and to be strong, and to be enough, to be enough to ward off and to defend and be content. All right? And so, yeah, where you're weak, his power to his where you're weak, his power is to fulfill and accomplish, and to finish the necessary process by rolling you over to the next level. Okay. So his power to fulfill and accomplish, finishing the necessary process to roll you over to the next level. Okay, and so weakness there means to be in want of strength. It's to be frailty. It's to have illness. It's to be suffering. It's to be in calamity, especially when someone becomes wrongly or over dependent, or an infirmity. Okay, so that's what can weaken you. Okay, and so the flesh there is sarks, and sarks means to make decisions or actions according to yourself or according to self. So the flesh, the human nature, is making decisions based and according to self, not the purpose of God, not to replicate Jesus' power or God's power in other people. That's the kingdom message. Human nature, flesh message is making decisions based on and according to me, self, which is God's power is not, can't operate, does not operate when self is operating. Okay? And so that's always cut down and thrown into the fire for you to see it and then go, okay, then you're very weakened and then God's power can now come and fulfill and accomplish the necessary process to take you through that to the next level. All right, because there's the next level and we think there's not, but there is. Doesn't feel like it at the time when we're so weak and ill and no strength and frail. Okay, so Matthew 7:20. Hey, Matthew 7:20 says, "Thus by their fruit they will recognize them." Thus means then surely, or there's no doubt. No doubt. And it says to by their fruit you'll recognize them, which means there's no doubt. Or surely they will be imitating the fruit that they will be imitating the fruit. So they're either going to be imitating good or imitating bad. They're going to either be imitating, and this is how you're going to know them, he says. So that's by their fruit, you'll recognize them. So surely, without a doubt, you will see that they're imitating either the bad fruit, the bad, or the good. They're going to be corrupt, bad, rotten, depraved, poor quality, unfit for use, not useful, okay, and rotten. And, or they're going to be good in nature, good grounding, pleasant, upright, honorable, generous, kind, acceptable to God, empowerment by their life through faith, okay? So they're going to imitate either fruit. They're going to imitate being good or imitate being bad. Okay? And you'll know them, recognize them. And this is the other thing. This is the other part of it. You'll know them and recognize and direct your attention to, or you're going to find out through direct relationship. Directing my attention, it says there. Okay, so you're going to know them by their fruit. It says you'll know them by their fruit. Well, that actually means to be in a direct relationship and to have found out about this bad fruit through a direct relationship, which has directed your attention to the bad fruit. Okay, so by imitating the bad fruit, because it says you're going to actually imitate it, so it means you're going to actually be imitating bad. You're going to have corruption, you're going to be rotten, depraved, all of that, because you've had a direct you've had to be in direct relationship with the bad tree, with the bad fruit, in order to find out the state, or to find out, to have found the conclusion of what this fruit is, okay? The only way through direct relationship and having your attention directed to it so you can see it, okay? Okay, and then it says, like, I see in a mirror dimly, but then I will aptly, experientially know it. We can say we can see in a mirror dimly, which means we can see in the mirror dimly through the word or through Jesus, and we know that, okay, we've got Jesus is good fruit, and we can read about that. So So then we can see in a mirror that's what we're supposed to be. And we can read in the Bible that, okay, bad fruit's this. But we can only see dimly in the mirror. By reading it, we only get a dim understanding of it. But then through the direct relationship with actually having have become corrupt and having have become rotten and having have become bad through imitating it and becoming it and direct relationship in relationship with it, then now we have experiential knowledge and experientially become known or have been known to and it known to us now through experiencing it firsthand. So much more potent and powerful than seeing it dimly like a mirror reading it. Okay? And it says that believers will then personally and aptly know the Lord through eternity. Okay, that's through that experiential knowing with the good and the bad. So to the extent they allowed him to personally know them here on earth. So it says there too that to have that to be known, or you'll know them by their fruit. So you'll also be in direct relationship with the good. Once it's cut down, the bad's cut down, gone into the fire, you see it, you don't want it, you want the other power, you want the good power and the good kingdom. You don't know any different until you've experienced it. You can only read about it, but it's very dim. It's not bright and it's not an apt experience. But through the direct relationship of imitating, becoming it, you have this experiential knowledge that empowers you, right? And it gives you authority because you know by experience that, you know, yes, by you the corruption and yeah, through being in relationship with bad fruit. Okay, so I love this. It's, you know, where it talks about the believer being personally and aptly know the Lord through eternity because we've become in direct relationship and one with that good tree, that good fruit. And to the extent that we allow him to personally know us here on earth and be known is the level we will experientially know and enjoy God in eternity. It'll match the level, okay, so this is that word level again. So God in eternity will match the level we are known by him in this life. So to be known by God in eternity, we will match the exact level that we're actually known by him in this life. Therefore, in order for us to be rolled over to the next level of knowing God experientially, we need to go through being cut down and thrown into the fire, the bad to corrupt nature and to be revealed. And then his power comes because we're weakened. And then we can actually, through experience, become not just acquainted with, but experientially know and be known by the good power, not the bad power. We know the bad power. We've just been thrown into the fire with it and had it revealed in our nature and in our flesh. And we don't want that power anymore. We want the good power. So now weakened, good power comes. And each time we go to a new level, so made weak, his power comes, made and takes us to the next level. And it's at that level of being known here. So people who avoid this process never actually experientially know the Lord. Therefore, knowing him in eternity, they're only going to know him to the level they know him here now. But if they avoid the process of having their trees pruned so they can bear more fruit and bear good fruit, then they avoid this process because of the pain of having that revealed, that nature revealed, or having the corruption and the bad fruit revealed, and to be made weak in it, right? So, but you can't, to avoid it means you won't know him on your level of knowing him will be so limited compared to, you know, and that's the level you're going to know him forever. Forever. So some people don't know him at all, you know, but you're getting to know him now through experience, and this is the first stage, first step. All right, so Matthew 7:21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but the one doing the will of the Father of me, who's in the heavens, will enter the kingdom. And the word, not everyone who says to me, Lord, will enter the kingdom. Yeah, but the one doing the will of the Father is means to be chosen, but it's the word hahire om ahadanam, which say it, but it means to I choose or I prefer, or to take for oneself his will. Thelema is means his will. So his best offer to people, which can be accepted or rejected. Okay, so to be chosen means that we've chosen to take for oneself his will, which is the Father's best offer to people, which can be accepted and it can be rejected. Okay, and it's the purpose of God that was in Revelation 4:11, and it's talking about Jesus Christ is his best offer. And that is the will of God. Jesus Christ is the will of God. And it's the purpose of God to bless mankind through Jesus Christ. Okay? So Acts 22:14. It says, and he said, hey! That's sometimes just like the fire. All right. So, and he said, hey, Yasha, sorito. And he said, the God of the fathers of us has appointed you to know the will of him, to see the righteous one, and to hear the voice out of the mouth of him. I love this. It's so he's saying the God of the fathers of us, so our spiritual fathers, their God who they serve, okay, which is the Father, the Lord, of us has appointed you, so the Father, God has appointed you to know the will of him, to know the will of the Father. You've been appointed to know the will of the Father and to see the righteous one, Jesus Christ, right? So you've been appointed to know the will of him, right? And the will of him, and to know the will of him is to know Jesus Christ and to see Jesus Christ and to hear the voice out of, to hear, it says to hear the voice of Jesus Christ, but out of the mouth of Jesus Christ, to hear the voice coming out of the mouth of him. So that's the will of the Father. The will of God is Jesus Christ. And the will of the Father has appointed to all people to know the will of him, so to know that Jesus Christ is the will of God, and to know, and then, and to also be able to see Jesus Christ, to see the righteous one, and to hear him, but to hear him from his own voice coming out of his own mouth. Okay, and that where that goes is it's, well, firstly, the righteous one means to be conformed to God's standard. Okay, so the will of the Father is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And the reason for that is so all people are conformed to God's standard, to the Father's standard, who is Jesus Christ is the standard. And those who pride themselves on other virtues, real or imaginary, it says, okay, so that's in 2 Peter 2:7. So there's the being conformed to God's standard, who's the righteous one, And those who reject the righteous one, they pride themselves on their own virtues, whether or not they're real in their own eyes, and they are real virtues, or imaginary, where they think of themselves as virtue or virtuous, okay? Or their virtues are righteous. But he's saying it doesn't matter whether you have righteous virtues, whether they are real good virtues, or whether they are real righteous, in a sense, virtues, or not, that's not the standard that you're measured against, and that's not the will of the Father. Doesn't matter how good you try to make yourself. You could be a worker of iniquity your whole life, doing good for man, doing good for people, but that is not the standard of righteousness. The righteous one is Jesus Christ, and we are all, that's one standard of righteous. So people can have different righteous virtues. You might be a really charitable person, or you might be really generous and loving and compassionate and give all of your time. I mean, we have all of these things, but none of that is, whether it's real or not real, you pride yourself on all of that about yourself. So we can pride ourselves on it, thinking we're better than others because of all of our righteous virtues. He says that's why he doesn't judge it by that way. The will of the Father is Jesus Christ, and he's the only righteous one. So when you believe in him and you believe the will of the Father, so you believe the words of Jesus Christ, you believe the will of the Father, then you're conformed to God's standard and you're made righteous by that belief, not by anything good you do. And they say that that is a stumbling block for the Greek educated mind, because they think they are smarter, or they can't get their head around that because of the way they've been trained, okay? So that's what that's saying. So, and then it says, for the voice out, so his will is, Jesus Christ is the will. The will is that you would also see him and to hear him, but hear him from the voice of his own mouth. And the word mouth there means it comes from the word stomatos, like stomach. Okay, the mouth is actually the stomach, and because the spirit's in your stomach. And so it's from the point of the source. So it literally means from his own mouth and what he has just said. So when the spirit's speaking from your stomach and it's Jesus Christ, the righteous one, then you will always be bringing the righteous words, the right word, the correct word. And if you don't have the righteous one in your stomach by his spirit, then you will always be bringing the bad tree, the bad fruit, corrupt. It'll always be corrupt words, and it will always bear bad fruit. Okay, that's what he's saying. So to make everyone equal and to make it fair for everybody, because if we were going to judge everybody on the level of education they got or how many words they knew, nobody would measure up. And that was the problem. People were still sinning. The fruit was bad. There was a lot of corruption because it was bad. One righteous one comes into you by his spirit. Now everybody is speaking in one accord. Everyone is saying the one standard, the righteous words. And then it's fair, so everybody can be made equal, right? That's what it's about. Okay, so then they're all made the same. We're all conformed to God's standard. Okay, and then you've got the will of the Father. So the will of the Father is to conform to the righteous one, Jesus, sent out as the will of God. Matthew 7:21 says, "The thing which the Lord." Read that one. So, okay, so Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Okay? So to do the will of the Father means doing, means the thing which the law commands. That's what it means. Okay? So only the one who's doing the will of the Father, which means doing what the law commands. Now Jesus is the law, he's the right, he's the standard. So when the law has come into your body by the Spirit, now you're made righteous. So he by his spirit, you'll hear his voice and you will obey what he says to you by the spirit. So if you're not hearing that and not, your fruit's bad and you're not in one accord and you're not speaking these words and you're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness, like the Bible says, then the tree has to be cut down, goes into the fire. You then need to desire the good power, the good tree, and then in your weakness of recognizing your own corrupt human nature, he comes upon you and gives you he comes into you by you believing that he is the good and righteous one, okay? And he's the law, he's the fulfillment of the law. So it says, not everyone saying to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. So just doing the will, which is Christ only. Right, so Christ in me is the hope of glory, all glorious things to come. So Matthew 7:22 says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I drive out demons? Didn't I do many miracles? Matthew 7:23 says, then I'm going to declare to them, this is what Jesus says, but I'm going to say to those people, I never knew you. Depart from me. You're working, those who are working lawlessness, they're without the law. So what he's saying, yes, maybe you prophesied and you said, well, I heard the Lord say, Lord, Lord. Maybe you drove out demons. Maybe you did perform miracles. But if you don't know the Lord, which means you haven't developed the, you haven't got the law in you, which is, it says to be working lawlessness, which means that the Lord, you can't hear the Lord and you don't, you haven't experientially become known to him, because you need that humbling experience where the tree's cut down and thrown into the fire and you recognize the condition of your depraved human condition. And when that happens, you know you're so weak, it's humiliating, all that stuff happens. That's how he does it. And then when that state and that weak condition, you're like, well, I need your power. And he comes and he gives it to you. And then it's his power that is making you anything good. It's his power. It's him speaking. It's him doing everything. And then when you speak, things are judged because he's the law. So you have this authority that all of a sudden causes anything wicked to be judged and cut down. You have the authority to speak and it's built up because it's him doing it through you, because you're completely cut down and thrown into the fire. There's nothing left of you. The only thing operating left inside of you is the power of God. It's his spirit possessed you. Okay, so there's no more self left. Self has to go for him to actually operate. And that's what he's saying. So depart from me because I didn't know you, which means I have not become intimate with you, or I have not become there's no experiential direct relationship with the good tree and the good fruit. Okay, you don't know me through relationship. Okay. So, and, you know, more's always revealed. So just this teaching is generally, I believe, to help people who have actually just gone through these experiences, and it's to help make them bring clarity, and it's to help to bring revelation around it, because there's not much out there to get that understanding. This is not to teach you how to go and do it, because you can't. Only the power of God can do it, okay? And blessed are those who are disciplined and chastised by the Lord, because they're not bastards. He knows them, and he's done it because he loves them. They're actually for him, and he loves those. That's why he doesn't do it to any other people. That's why there's few and far between, okay? Then he says, Matthew 7:23, then I'm going to declare, worker of lawlessness, depart from me. We're either accepting of being made right with God through Jesus Christ, the righteous one, or we're judged by the full measure of the law. This is another angle on it, where it says the law which judges all of our iniquity and evil deeds, okay? So this is the other part of it. So we think our good nature, or which our human nature, once we actually look, it's depraved and corrupt. We're not good. But we pride ourselves on our good virtues. And so we think, I'm a good person. I work for free. I help you a lot. I've been here. I do charity. I do this. I do that. I'm good in so many areas. So we pride ourselves on these good virtues. And he's saying that's not the standard that he judges by. He judges only by the righteous one, Jesus Christ. So if you're not known to Jesus Christ and he has not become in direct relationship with you, then you're judged not when you are in direct relationship with Jesus Christ, and you are judged by Jesus Christ, and you are judged as right. Okay? But when you're not in direct relationship with Jesus Christ and you actually do not believe he is the will of the Father and he is the will of God, and that you to see the will of the Father is for you to see him and to hear his voice, that's the will of God. It's not to be busy here or building this or doing that. The will of God is Jesus Christ. Okay? And for him to be, for you to be conformed to that measure, that standard through his spirit inside of you, he does it. And then to reproduce him in other people, that's the measure. Okay? But if you reject that, okay, so the will of the Father is to accept Jesus Christ or to reject Jesus Christ. That's the will of the Father. If you reject Jesus Christ, then you're judged by the full measure of the law. Okay? Which means just your good virtues aren't going to be enough to satisfy the Levitical law, which is the five books of the Bible. The first five books, Genesis, you can go and get the first five books, the books of Moses, where it talks, that's the Deuteronomy, it's the first, that's the measure of the, that's the standard of the law. That's why Jesus came, because nobody could fulfill it. Everyone was always corrupt and rotten to the core and full of sin, and they couldn't overcome sin, and they couldn't measure up and keep the law, so they were under the judgment of the law. Always. And so if you don't want Jesus Christ and you reject him, then you're going to be judged by the full measure of the law. So you're going to have to be perfect in all areas, not just some. You get judged by the full measure of the law. So that's why you choose to either accept, when you accept Jesus Christ, then you're judged by the full measure of the law, but you've been filled with Jesus Christ by the Spirit. So you're being judged as right because he fulfilled it. So that's what levels you up to that standard. Okay? That's why so many people are out there under severe punishment, because they reject it and they want to do it themselves. I'm a good person. Look at all my good virtues. But other half of their life's falling apart all the time, and they're never good enough, and they feel never good enough, and they're under condemnation, and they're always never good enough. Anything they do is not good enough, and they feel bad all the time. It's because they feel like they're so self-empowered. They feel like they're a good person because they pretty much do good stuff, and we're not saying that that's not good stuff. We're just saying that that's not the measure that the Lord judges by. He judges by one righteous person, Jesus Christ, makes it fair for all people. And so whoever's got Jesus Christ and has believed that he is the will of the Father are judged as righteous, and they don't get thrown into the fire and cut down to learn and to become weak so they can see that they need the power of the kingdom, not bad power, okay? Because bad power won't reproduce the righteous one in other people. And you need, that's the only good fruit and good works that's available on earth. Okay? All right. So Jesus is the law. Our faith in him and belief and receiving of him makes us known to each other. Okay, so we reject Jesus, then you're judged by the full measure of the law. And that is destruction. That's why the world is as is, okay? You believe and accept Jesus as the will of the Father, then you receive the power through direct experiential relationship, you're going to be made good because you're going to be conformed to the righteous one. And in time, you're going to see how you've been transformed because of it. So now by through direct experience, you're going to know it's the truth, not by reading it like a mirror and reading it and only getting a very dim perception by reading it. Through direct experience now, you have the truth, and the truth has now made you free, which is free from judgment and condemnation and feeling like you're not good enough. Now you know you're good enough because you've been judged rightly. Through experience, you know it's the truth. Nobody can tell you different. Okay, that's how it is. All right. So anytime bad fruit appears, him inwardly, in us inwardly, he judges it because he's the judge, and he determines or decides, and he cuts it off so it doesn't spoil us, okay? It doesn't spoil the whole tree in us. So Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And it says that he hears the words, which means he listens and he comprehends by hearing, and he hears immediately. And my words is logos. It means an expression of a thought, expressing the thoughts of the Father through the Spirit. That's what it is. So anyone who hears my words, comprehends and hears immediately, an expression of thought, which is the thought of the Father through his Spirit coming through you. Those words are commands, they're counsels, they're promises, and they're of any teacher of who is teaching from the law, which is the law of Jesus Christ, not the law of the religious scholars. Okay, so the words, commands, counsels, promises. Anybody who's teaching, who has Jesus Christ in them as the lawgiver, those words are... Anyone who listens are wise, it says. Anyone who hears the words and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. So when you hear the words from a teacher who's in the law, Jesus Christ is inside with authority, if you obey those words or do those words, practice them, it says. We're going to get to where it says practice, but wise means to be sensible, intelligent, prudent, mindful of the Lord's interests. Okay, so you're mindful of the Lord's interests because you've been taught the commands and the counsels of the Lord, and you now have the interest of the Lord, and you actually know what the Lord's interested in doing. So you'll become wise. Okay, and it builds up the character, it edifies, and it which is to say to build his house on the rock. It means to build your character. It means to edify you and to encourage you and to build someone up, which helps them stand. That's what it does. Okay, so somebody like they want philo love where they're like, you're not being nice to me. That's not very nice. Well, that doesn't cause somebody to stand. Only the building character by telling them that the will of the Father is Jesus Christ, and that if they don't obey him, they are foolish and they are not wise. If they don't believe him, they are foolish, they are not wise. Their house will not be built as a wise builder. They won't be built on the rock, and it'll be built on sand, which we'll later get to. And when the storms and the winds come, they'll be blown away. It'll all be cut down and thrown down because they had no foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And that's what happens over and over and over again. So that's why he's saying to build them up is to help them stand. Tell them the truth, okay? Tell them the truth because that's what's going to make them free, and it will cause them to stand when anything comes at them. Okay, the rock is the words of Jesus Christ. All right. So Matthew 7:25 says, then the rain came and the streams rose and the winds blew and they beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. And the word rain means to come in heavy, and it's to descend and to come down from the heavens. Okay, it's torrents, it's wind. Now, wind means empty doctrine. or a strong tempest wind. And to beat against the house means to beat against or to rush in violently. Okay, so empty doctrine and wind of doctrine, it says they're not, we'll get to the scripture on it, but it's to not have the doctrine of salvation, not to have the doctrine that Jesus is the will of the Father, the will of God. Okay, so when you deny that, you're chasing after different winds, different doctrines. And when the wind, they will come and they will batter you with these words of empty doctrine. They'll batter you and beat you against. They'll rush at you violently and they'll try to come down upon you and try to cause you to come to ruin. They cause you to fall down and to fall to ruin, it says. Okay. But those who, that doesn't happen to those who have been founded and have had their foundation laid on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, so he has laid the foundation. He's laid the foundation. Nothing, and then you can't be shaken, it says. So Acts 5:18 says, okay, so it says that he's laid the foundation. Jesus Christ laid the foundation. So your house is built upon him. You're the house. Okay, you're the house. Your doctrine is salvation, life in Jesus Christ, the will of the Father. You can't be beaten against, and when another doctrine comes flying at you to say, Jesus, reject Jesus, don't accept him, you don't fall for it because of the foundation that's been laid. But what happens is, it says it in Acts 5:18 that to lay hold of means to place for oneself, okay? To take it for oneself or to lay hold of it. Now, Jesus laid the foundation, but in Acts 5:17, we see that the high priest and his associates, who were members of a party of the Sadducees, they were filled with jealousy. And in Acts 5:18, it says that they arrested the apostles and they put them in public jail. Now, the Sadducees and the high priests and his associates, it says, they were remembered and they were filled with jealousy that this person has a foundation of Jesus Christ and their house had been built and they've been made wise because of it. And it says that these council of Sadducees became very jealous. They were filled with jealousy. Okay, the other part of that where we were reading earlier says you'll be filled with his spirit if you seek and hunger after him. So we're filled with his spirit, which is good because it produces good. But these were obviously, that's bad fruit. Jealousy is bad fruit. So they had a bad tree. They had bad fruit, which is jealousy. So we should know them by their fruit. So there is no jealousy. There is no envy, rivalry. There's none of that in the good fruit, in the good tree, in the spirit of Jesus. So you know what fruit people, you know what tree or doctrine people are coming from by the fruit that they're producing. Okay? So don't eat their fruit because it corrupts you. And you don't want, and then that bad fruit has to be cut down out of you and thrown into the fire, show you what it is. You know, it's painful. So it says that they arrested the apostles, okay? Now, arrested means to lay upon or take hold of, lay hold of, to throw over or to cast over or to strike upon or to be breaking over them. Okay, it means to have to belong to and to beat into. So when they arrested the apostles who have a foundation in Jesus Christ, all the ones with foundation in Jesus are called for the apostolic, you know, the apostles. They've got the power of God. Well, when they arrested them because they were filled with jealousy, it says that they laid hold of them with their hands, right? So their hands, as we know, are instruments and used as a tool to release power. So they were, as soon as they put their hand on them, They've released bad power because it's bad fruit from a bad tree. So it's bad power, not good power, not good power from the kingdom. So they've released this bad power over the apostles, which has made them to become thrown over, which caused them to get that fruit of jealousy on them. All that bad power, all that bad fruit came over the top of this apostle who was filled with the good power. But because they laid hold of him, they laid hold of these apostles, it made them to be thrown over, and the power, that bad power, threw itself over like a sheet of power over the top of the apostle to break over them. And then it starts to beat into them and beat them up, okay, and strikes them down. That's what the power does. It's a bad power, and it's released out of their hand, okay? And an apostle is a messenger who is sent by Jesus Christ. All right. And then what that power does, it imprisons them. So it's like it's a coat or something, and it comes over the top of them, like imprisons them in this dome of bad power. Now they're in this bad power, and it's like a prison, a place of detention. And it keeps them complying with the bad power, okay, with the bad fruit, with the bad tree. And what it does, the word imprison actually means to be watching them. So this bad power is so it can keep a watch over them, making sure they don't turn good, making sure they don't do anything that's outside of their power, out of their realm. It just keeps as a watch on them, holds them there, okay? That's what it does. So most people are imprisoned by bad power from people who have bad fruit and come from a bad tree. And it releases this power. And we've talked about the agreement of words and agreeing, okay? And what this power, how it comes over you is, it can be released over you, but as soon as you start to feel yourself feel jealous, for example, or feel sorrow or down or anything that's not good power, good nature from Jesus, you know that the power of darkness has come near you or over you, and you have the power and authority to reject it because you've accepted Jesus as the will of the Father. But some people can release bad power over you by saying anything. They can say any word that's not in agreement with Jesus being the will of the Father. Okay? It's very deceptive and very crafty and tricky. But you'll know it by its fruit. So you don't have to work out much. All you need to know is the fruit of Jesus is good. It's kind. It's generous. Okay? It's acceptable to God, it's upright, it's honourable, it's pleasant, and it's on good ground, all right? Okay, and so it puts them in public jail, which means it's belonging to the people. That's what it means to belong to the public. So this bad power that they release over you to imprison you like a dome, it makes you belong to the people, to become a common person or belong to the state. So it imprisons you to keep you entrapped so they can watch you, and so you can't break free, and so you can be completely trapped under this bad power and be corrupt and rotten and worthless, and you feel all that. That's how you know, okay? Just to make you common like everyone else, like it says, foolish, not wise, but foolish, okay? Acts 5:19. This is why it says, be careful who you hang out with, all this stuff, all right? Acts 5:19. But during the night, it says, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Night means to disappear. That's what the word night means, to disappear. So during the night, the angel of the Lord caused them to disappear. The angel of the Lord means to have absolute ownership rights. Okay? So you've already given and he's already purchased you and belongs to you and you've already accepted. And the angel of the Lord has absolute ownership rights. So when you accept and 100% have given the angel of the Lord, angel Yahweh, absolute ownership rights of you, then he will open the doors of the jail and bring you out and lead you out of that power, that dominion of darkness, that power of bad that tried to imprison you. All you need to do is to get your mind back in agreement with the ownership rights of Angel Yahweh for you. Agreement of the will of the Father is Jesus Christ. That's all it is. Okay? And then once you do that, he opens the doors of the jail and gets you out. Now it says having opened, which says I open the gate. I open the door. Jesus Christ, Angel Yahweh, Angel of the Lord. And I lead them out of the city of punishment, it says. When it says I lead them out, it's out of the city of punishment. So under that bad power that has been released upon because you've because of the bad tree and the bad fruit that's tried to imprison you under its control and watch. And then it beats you up. It beats you up, makes you beat yourself up. That's what you think. You think you're beating yourself up, but it's beating you up. It's the power on the outside of you that's beating you up. Right? Well, then he leads you out from that city. It's called a city because it's a dome over you. You become a city. You're a city. And he leads you out of that city of punishment. The place that's being, now listen to this, is what he says. It's the place that's being supplied the imprisoning power in your thoughts. Or it's the place that's being supplied, the place of your thoughts that is being supplied power to imprison you. So there's a place in your thoughts where this power that's come over you and covering you is imprisoning you through your thoughts. So there's a power, that power supply on the outside of you that you don't even know is there, because most people are foolish and oblivious to what's going on. So they're just trapped in this dome of bad power because they don't understand, right? So that power is supplying the power to your thoughts to keep you imprisoned in your mind, which keeps the control of the dome of the prison on the outside of you, in power over you. So you need the power of good to help you be released, okay? And then that's going to preach the word to you, which is Jesus is the will of the Father, get you to agree with it so you can stop being a slave and come out of a prison and actually rise in authority and recognize this stuff and learn how to walk in it, learn how to operate in it and set other people free and come out of that imprisonment dome of bad power, which is a power of darkness, a dark kingdom by spirit. Hello. All right. Acts 5:20 says this, go stand. This is what he says now. He says, okay. So you've just been imprisoned in a power of, by the power of darkness. And it says that the angel of the Lord, he came and he broke off that power of darkness over you. He opened the gate. He led you out of that city of punishment and hell that you've been trapped in. And then his next command to you is go stand now in the temple courts and tell the people about this new life. Now it says go and having stood, speak in the temple to the people all the words of life of this that we've just gone through. Now, it means to be, having stood means to be established, to be held up and to cause them to stand. Okay? Now he says, go and speak in the temple, which means to go preach the word of God or the doctrine of salvation, prompted by divine influence, which is by the power of God. So prompted by the divine influence of the authority of power of God inside of you, go preach the word of God or the doctrine of salvation. Okay? The doctrine of salvation is what I've just talked about. The power of bad over. Boom, the angel of the Lord releases you from that jail and puts the power of good over you. Right? And then we preach the word of God, which teaches each other to stay out of, to recognize the power of bad, to learn how to operate, to learn how the fruit works, to learn how the cutting down and the pruning of the trees, to live godly lives, to when you're a baby Christian, you might be an older person in your flesh, and you might think you're something and pride yourself on your good virtues. You need to be humble and realize you don't understand the power of, you don't understand the spirit realm, and you need someone to teach you. Like a little child, you enter the kingdom, it says. It's a little child, means that not a little baby or an idiot, nothing like that. It just means that you are new and that you are now under training, like a child who doesn't know anything about this stuff, and you are now learning through experience, which is the hardest way to learn, but that's how we learn the best, because it's a direct relationship of this experience and it can't be taken from you. You operate in authority because you've walked it out. You've had to overcome it. Amen? Amen. All right. So then the temple, so we go and we preach the word of God and the doctrine of salvation in the temple. We preach it into the temple. So we go into the temple of the people, which is the outer courts, which are the outer courts, which means all enclosures. Okay. Where Jesus and the apostles are said to have gone up and entered into the temple to have taught or encountered adversaries and the like in the temple, okay? The temple is a sacred place, okay? And so we're now to preach in the temple to the outer courts, all areas of the temple, all enclosures. We go to every area, all enclosures, and we preach to it all. Okay, and that's where you will you'll be taught. And you also will encounter adversaries and the like. All right, and then all the words it says. So now go and preach or speak all the words of life, of this life. Okay, and all the words there are the rhema words. The words there means it's rhema, and it's the rhema word, which is the things spoken as a command by the living voice for the Lord speaking his dynamic living word in a believer, which is hearing by faith. So the words being spoken through a believer, because it's the living voice coming out of their stomach, it's the Lord himself speaking his dynamic living word in a believer. So you can hear it, and you, by faith, it delivers to you the whole doctrine concerning this life and the life eternal, okay? Which is everlasting life, okay? And we're going to get to it as well, because it says there that, you know, it, actually we went past it where it was talking about Jesus without, you know, you, they'll say, Lord, Lord, but I'll have to say to them, depart from me, you're a worker of iniquity, or you're a worker of lawlessness. They won't all enter the kingdom of God. Why is that? Because those who enter the kingdom of God have Jesus Christ inside of them, and they've accepted, okay, and they're one with. Now, it's because only Jesus Christ enters the kingdom of God, okay? You're made to conform to him, to his spirit. Your body, your flesh counts for nothing. Your spirit becomes one with his spirit. So Jesus Christ enters the kingdom. that by piggybacking on him, your spirit piggybacks on him, you also enter the kingdom. So without Jesus Christ, your spirit cannot get into the kingdom of God because it's Jesus Christ's kingdom. Only Jesus Christ enters the kingdom. Your spirit, by grace, also enters the kingdom because it's attached to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not in your body. You have no law. You do not meet the obligation of the law, the perfect law, to enter the kingdom of God. You don't enter. You only enter by Jesus Christ. Okay? Your spirit attached to his. Amen? Conformed then into him. Okay? So the future life, the physical life here in the here and now, Jesus Christ inside of you teaches you, learns how to get this power, come out of the power of darkness, the dominion of darkness, the bad power, and to believe the will of the Father is Jesus Christ is the will of God, and to reproduce that law inside of other believers by preaching the word and the doctrine of salvation to others through divine influence. That's it. Okay? Because what you're doing is we're not living for this life, we're living for the life to come, which is a permanent, everlasting, eternal life, conformed as the righteous one, all righteous, all good power in the eternal kingdom of God. No bad power comes into the eternal kingdom of God. This is just collecting the souls for that life. And you're either in agreement or not agreement. Nobody really cares. It's if you're in agreement, you come. If you're not in agreement, you don't. There is an opportune time every season, there's a seasonal time, opportune kairos moment where the doors are open and you're invited to come and partake of the kingdom of God. If you reject that offer, that's fine. You reject the offer. Then you go be with the power of bad and enjoy that. And everybody just continues on with their life. And you can kick against the power of good and you can bite at it and you can try to devise plans and all whatever you want to do. We have the power of good has the power, overcomes the power of bad every time, especially once it's overcome to the level of knowing its complete authority and making every power of bad submit to it. And anytime the power of bad raises its head up against the power of good, the power of good casts it down, throws it down, causes it to be weak and to see its depraved nature. Okay? And eventually it will either call on the power of good or it won't. But, and it will just continue that cycle, but it cannot harm the power of good because it's the Lord Jesus and he's the law and he has the power over the darkness. So join the winning team is the message. Okay. Then we see in Enoch, the book of Enoch, it says, and this is in the Bible, and it says, the wicked angels are said before their fall to have been spiritual and partakers of eternal, immortal life. This took all day, that's why. All right. So Enoch and the wicked angels, they were said to have before their fall, they were actually partaking of the spiritual and eternal and immortal life. And it says that the blessing of real life after the resurrection. So after the resurrection, there's a real blessing. Okay, to partake of this physical and the spiritual life, okay? The life breaking forth from the abode of the dead, which is bad power, corrupt nature, all of that. So once the resurrection power comes, you're actually made alive and you're resurrected out of that dead life that you thought was good, which is not good. And it's revealed to you that it's not, and your good virtues are nothing. His resurrection powers all brings you into good power and makes you righteous, and all of a sudden, boom, not dead anymore, made alive, resurrected, boom. Okay? Acts 5:21 says, at daybreak, then at daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they've been told, and they began to teach the people. And when the high priest and the associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, and the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and they sent them to the jail to go get the apostles. Okay? Acts 5:2-1. Yeah! Hey, Shundite! But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. They went back and they reported that. We found the jail securely locked up with the guards standing at the door. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. On hearing this report, well, actually, it says there that the prison house was found shut up, okay? So it means that the prison house had been caused to shut up, shut it up and keep it closed. Do not operate. The security from the enemies and the guards and the watchers, which is a guard keeper, which is a military guard. So all it's the security are to keep the enemies out. The watchers are guard keepers. They're military guards to keep the enemies out. So what they're saying is the power of bad, that power of bad darkness kingdom, which is that operates in the power of bad, also have securities and watchers and military guards that guard to keep the people imprisoned under the power. Okay? That's what he's saying. So Acts 5:2-4, on hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss. They were wondering what this might lead to. They were perplexed, it says. They were at a loss, perplexed. Di apoiro. It means to be at a loss with oneself. They were going through every possible way. No way was found out. They could not figure it out how they escaped this prison of darkness. It was a dome over the people. It was a dome over the apostle. How the hell did this apostle escape this power? We had guards and watchers on every angle. There was no way they were going to escape this power of bad that had domed them to keep them inside of it forever in a city of punishment, beating themselves up. How did they get free? Okay, that's what they're saying to themselves. Then someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail, they're standing in the temple. They're in the temple courts and they're teaching the people. Acts 5:2-6. At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They didn't use force because they feared that the people would stone them. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin and to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name, they said. Yet you've filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us look guilty of this man's blood. Acts 5:28. They filled Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. They have filled her with the Rhema living word. Jesus Christ, by his spirit, filled them, filled the bride, filled the people. By teaching them through this living Rhema word, filled them with the correct bread, the Rhema word, the bread, the revelation, and put it inside the people. And because of that, now they've come alive from their dead state. It's made the Sanhedrin. They're saying, now you're going to make us responsible for the death of Jesus in the temple. So because the resurrection power is going to prove that they did kill him, that he was who he said he was in the first place, that they have kept you entrapped in that prison of punishment and darkness so you could never, ever escape it and never, ever hear it. But once you've escaped and now the living words made you alive, you know the truth, and that means you actually know that they did kill him and they are guilty of this man's blood. They are responsible for his death. And that's not only 2,000 years ago. That's talking about today. Okay? If you haven't been made alive in the congregations that you're in today, and this is the only word that's filling you and making you come alive, then you know that it's the same power operating here as it was 2,000 years ago. It's the same power of imprisonment that's still happening in the synagogues and the through the religious and the Sanhedrin, who are filled with jealousy instead of being filled with the Rhema, living word of God. And they're filled with jealousy and they're releasing that power out of their hands, keeping people entrapped in a city of punishment with this dome of bad fruit, corrupt and not good. And it's creating more and more of those people than it is creating more and more of Jesus Christ inside of the people. We've got more bad than good. Why? Okay. Because people can't escape the jail. They're not escaping the prison. They are now. Why? Because you know why? Because we're getting people now who they're rebellious. They're not going to listen anyway. They can't stand hearing the fake church crap, the fake Christian. They're not buying that. So they can't be controlled. And once they're filled with the living Rhema word of God, you won't be able to hold them back. They're not going to be intimidated by a power of darkness coming from the hand of a religious person that says you have to obey my traditions and obey my church policies. Are you kidding? We're talking about people that have been under the power of bad and deep dark corruption their entire lives. We're going to set them free with the living Rhema, living word, power of God, and they're going to be made alive and resurrected, and all of a sudden see the truth and hear the living word and be made free. Do you think that they're going to listen to some religious person that comes up and says to them, you need to come to my synagogue and obey my synagogue's compliance rules, join this church club, fill out this form, do this, do that. They're not going to do that. They don't follow basic authority, let alone a religious authority. That's what's happening. Because the church won't listen, so the Lord's gone outside of the church to get people who will listen and who will allow him to govern them instead of coming under the governance of false prophets, false teachers who are releasing the power of bad and corruption, the power of darkness and imprisoning them and not letting him be Lord. They're lording over instead. It's finished. Hallelujah. All right, Acts 5:29 says, Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." That's what he said. Peter and the other apostles said, "We must obey God rather than human beings." That's what they said to the religious people. Okay, God, where God's got me over here doing this. I'm not coming into your religious system. I'm doing what God's told me to do. Okay? And you know why they can obey God so strictly with such power and authority? Because of the direct relationship that they've had with the power of bad and now coming into the power of good, direct relationship. You can't take that from them. You can't manipulate and use witchcraft and trick them and deceive them. Yeah. Okay. I obey one in authority, which that says. So we must obey. I obey one in authority, one who has priority, which is Jesus Christ. No one else. Amen. All right. Then the God of our fathers, it says, the God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead of us, or from the dead. Okay, so it says the God of our fathers raised, which is egiro, means to awaken and arouse from the sleep of death to recall the dead to life. That's what it's saying, to recall the dead to life. Whom you killed. It says, whom you killed, which is to have in your hands and to lay hands on violently and kill. So the God of our fathers, the fathers that raised us and broke us free from the imprisonment of the power of bad, They raised us, they awakened us, and they arose us. They got us out of our sleep and our dead life, right? Let's get it up here, though. Jesus Christ. Peter says, yeah, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. So the God of our ancestors, or the God of our fathers, raised Jesus, who you killed by hanging him on a tree. Whom you killed means you had him in your hands, you laid your hands on, which is releasing that power of bad and darkness out of your instrument, which is your hand, onto him, which violently killed him, which is doing the same to the Christian today. It's exactly the same. So from their hands, they're releasing the power of bad, laying hold of those whom Jesus is in, and violently killing them. Instead of arousing them and awakening them, the power that they're putting on them is doing something different to what it should be doing. Okay? And then it says to move by the use of your hands. That's what it means. To move by the use of your hands, to manage and administer and to govern, or to deride, scoff, and mock. That's what it says. So to be, let's open it up. So to be killed, yep. To be killed, which means to violently lay a hold of them through the power of your hand. Which creates, which is mocking Jesus inside of them. It's scoffing at the power of God who's inside of them, because what you've done is you've laid hold of them with your power of bad, your power of darkness, and now that power of darkness is governing them and administering over them, and it's mocking Jesus Christ who's inside of them, who should be operating and governing them. But instead, you've released a power of death over them, a power of bad over them, so it stops Jesus Christ's governance and his authority from operating. They come under the power of darkness instead. That's what it says. The other part in the Bible says that Jesus won't be mocked. So, you know, that power is going to be dealt with. And it says having hanged on a tree. The Jesus that you hung, you killed and you hung him on a tree. Having hanged means to suspended him and to hang him up. To have suspended his power. To have suspended his governance of that human. That's why he says, don't cling to the people, they're mine. Don't try to control them. Don't try to tell them what to do. Don't use your words. Operating from your power of bad and speak into them unless you're coming from the righteous tree. Best for you to shut up and don't speak is what it says, or shut them up so you can't operate until you learn how to operate from the right tree, the righteous one, right? Having the power of God that actually governs with authority. So having hanged suspended, so you've suspended the rule of Jesus Christ by releasing your power upon them instead of Jesus Christ's power operating, and you put them on a tree. Now tree means wood, and it means to have earthly efforts, fleshly works coming from self rather than from the spirit. And it's dishonor, and it's a talebearer and a gossip, and it causes contention. It's dishonorable. It's a talebearer, which is a gossip, and it's contentious. It brings contention because it's earthly efforts and fleshly works, and it's coming all from the self, not from Jesus Christ's power. It's the power of bad, and it's causing corruption and deprivation, a depraved state. Because of the bad fruit and bad power. Okay. Why? Because you don't have the tree, the righteous tree, Jesus Christ. You rejected it. That's why you're operating like that. That's why it looks that way. All right. Acts 5:31. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. And this is what he's saying. Okay. So let's go and look at it because it's good. So God met, then what God did was, because of what you did, because of you put them under the power of bad, through the release of the power from your hand, because you've rejected Jesus Christ as the tree within you. So now all of a sudden you're producing, you've got a different Lord, which is a bad Lord. It's the self-powered, not good nature, bad nature. But because that you've done that, now God takes and exalts him to his own right hand as a prince and a savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgiveness of their sin. It says that we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Witnesses mean to be an eyewitness and an ear witness, so they hear and they see the Lord. Historically, they've seen and they've heard the Lord, and a witness means to be a martyr. Okay, now they're a martyr. They're dead. They've allowed themselves to die. That self-empowerment. They've become very weak. Their self, all that tail-bearing, dishonor, all of that gone for Jesus Christ to become the power in them. Okay? All right. So Matthew, we're going to wrap it up and go, just close it at Matthew. We'll go to Matthew 26. Okay? Oh, sorry, yeah, Matthew 7:26. Okay. All right. So, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. So everyone who hears the words of mine and does not put them into practice, the word practice means doesn't do them. It also means to follow one and be of the same mind and purpose. It means to carry out and to execute. But more importantly, the word practice means to make a law. To make a law. Okay? So when you don't do these words, you can't make a law, which is Jesus Christ, inside of another vessel. Because you don't have that tree. Because you've rejected him as the lawgiver. Therefore, under the full punishment and the full judgment of the full law, and we've been there and we've seen what that's all looking like, and we've just spent an hour talking about it. So those who don't practice these, to follow one, and they're not of the same mind and purpose, to carry out and execute and to make a law, to be, and it's to be likened or compared or comparable or assimilate or be made similar. That's what it's like. You'll be likened to, if you don't make the law in someone, if other people, if you don't practice righteousness, is what it's talking about. The righteous tree, agree, accept the will of the Father is Jesus Christ. Everything we just talked about, which replicates and produces the law in other people, then what happens? If you don't do that, you're going to be likened to, assimilated, which means to be made similar and comparable to a foolish man who is stupid. This is what it says in the Greek. A foolish man is described as somebody who is stupid, brainless, and dull in understanding. That's the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's to be imprudent without forethought or wisdom, okay? And wisdom gives you the same mind and a purpose, but to be without it, it makes you foolish, okay? And to build that house on the sand means to be built, as in innumerable and the multitude. So you build like everybody else. And it says there that comes, the sand comes from the word hummer, and hummer means to do it at the same time every morning, day in, day out, same old, innumerable multitude doing the same as everybody else. Okay, that's what it's saying. That's what it is, built on the sand. Now it says this, Matthew 7:27 says, but then what happens? This is what happens. The rain comes down, the streams rose up, the winds blew, and started beating against the house, Okay, so that's that power of darkness trying to beat its way back in, trying to get back hold because it doesn't want to let you go. It's guards and watches on every corner. But if you don't know your authority, you don't can't even get basic principles of getting the right tree growing in you. You can't even accept Jesus Christ as the will of the Father. I mean, that's just foundational, let alone learning how to operate in the fruit and develop the fruit and then recognize when the bad power comes and all of that. I mean, foundational principles, salvation doctrine, right tree. Let's start there. Foundational, righteous, agreed, let it come in, right? Don't reject it. Straight away, as soon as you reject Jesus Christ, the power of darkness comes straight over you, puts you into prison again. You're in power, right? And Jesus Christ is like, cut it down, throw it into the fire. Holy Ghost. Okay. So we're not building like the multitude. We're not building like the innumerable number of everybody on the sand. Okay, we're not doing that because what happens? It says that the winds came, it beat it against the house to try to get back in. And what happened? It fell with a great crash. It came to ruin. It was its own downfall. It fell and it came un because it came under the wrong power. Okay? All right. Hey! Matthew 7. Hey, hello. Borea sandara kerevesito, shandara hey ya, Matthew 7:27. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and it beat against the house and it fell with a great crash. Boom. Matthew 7:28. When Jesus had finished saying these things, think we're almost done. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. God bless you, Jesus, okay? And then it says, okay, so when Jesus had finished, which means when Jesus, it means it came into being that he was born. It came into being that it was born. Faith was born. Salvation's born. It became transition from one realm and condition to another. Okay, so now Jesus has come into being, into the person, and it is finished. Having finished, which means it's come to pass. The words have come to pass. Jesus has been coming to being and been born in the person. And that means his words have come to pass by his words, which consummates the word and the person, and it fulfills and it accomplishes and it reaches the end and it makes them full of strength, is what it is. Okay, that's what it says. So, by him now coming into being, coming to pass, it's consummated the word and it's filled them with the word, which accomplishes them to reach their goal. And to make them full of strength. Now they're full of strength and they're accomplished. Amen. All right. And it says that the people were astonished. That means to be stricken with shock. They were strike out of one's senses. It means to be that was struck out of their senses. They were dumbfounded with the outcome of being utterly amazed to strike one out of self-possession. I love that. That's what it does. It strikes them out of being so possessed by themselves. Strike one out of self-possession. Amen. That's what the power of God reveals. It's what the power of God does. And the crowd was astonished. Okay. The crowd we know are what? The multitude, the common people, not the royals, not those who are royal priesthood, but the common people who are now stricken with astonishment and wonder. Because it's been revealed to them, the word has come to pass, coming to being, born, proven true, consummated, filled them with the word, and accomplished the very thing the word was sent to do, which was to fill you with the rhema living word of God, to have Jesus, the will of God, the Father's will fulfilled inside of you, which is Jesus Christ, the righteous one, inside of you, operating from the power of good. With knowledge and wisdom built upon the rock, not shaken when the winds come, not shaken like and blown over and cut down ever again. Okay? Matthew 7:29 says, this happened, they were astonished because he taught as one who had real authority and not as the teachers of the law. Okay? Then we look at Matthew 17:19. Let's just quickly go back there. I know it's been a really long teaching, almost 2 hours. Must be important. Matthew 7:19, it says, good trees cannot produce bad fruit and bad trees cannot produce good fruit. Okay? Good trees, impossible to produce bad fruit. Bad trees, impossible to produce good fruit. Good. It says that, a bad tree is a corrupt tree. It's dishonorable. It dishonors. It's fleshly. It's earthly. And it's coming from the self. Always coming from self. Jesus tree, good tree, is like a slinger to throw power with its right hand. Okay, it's a both of them bad, corrupt tree that brings dishonor. It brings earthly flesh. It's coming from self. It's like it throws power, bad power, with its right hand, like a gunslinger. It slings it at you, right? Well, Jesus tree slings good power from the right hand. It throws power, so it throws down the power of bad, and it throws down corruption, and it throws down dishonor. Okay? Only good trees and good fruit awaken and arouse the dead, and only good trees reproduce the fruit of the law, which is Jesus Christ, causing Jesus Christ to have descendants who are good, okay? Jesus Christ descendants. Only a good tree with good fruit can reproduce the fruit of the law, can make the law, who is Jesus Christ, reproduction through the loins, which is the productive area inside of another person, because the Spirit is in speaking through. Amen. And that creates descendants of Jesus Christ through the power of good. Good fruit, good trees. Good night. God bless you. God keep you. Till next time.